right. Hello, Channel Niners. It's me, Paul DiCarlo, back in the Houston offices of Infusion, who are here to showcase a project that they built with Windows 10 IoT Core running on the Raspberry Pi. Got my buddies Dirk, Kyle, and Adam here, and they're going to kick it off and tell you all about the inspiration behind this really cool project that they built.
That's right. So here at Infusion, we pride ourselves on our annual hackathon. We send out to our different offices around. We kind of center it around a various concept or idea. Each team competes, brings a product to the table, brings a viable product. We demo, and we have a winner. And this year's competition was focused on IoT. And that was a way for us to get involved with the IoT project. It got engineers, got our sales team involved with it, the POC and creative teams as well, kind of bringing them all into bear to really come forth with a cool product that would utilize IoT, both from the Windows and IoT core, as well as the Azure stack and some of the Power BI visualizations as well.
That's pretty awesome. So this was a corporate hackathon. So were you guys competing across like with other offices and that sort of thing?
That's right. There were five offices that competed, and we're one of them within Infusion.
Awesome. So like how many projects came out of this hackathon?
So five projects. One project per office was kind of the way we designed it. And every office kind of got together and like brought all their minds together to kind of deliver. So it was like all hands on for it's definitely here in Houston, all hands on.
That sounds fun. So it reminds me like back in the school days, right? When you have like the fun day of class, like when the substitute teacher comes in.
That's exactly what it was.
So how much time did you guys get to work on this?
It was pretty good. So it wasn't, you know, like not a specific time, but we basically had a little over a month to kind of from, you know, kickoff to demonstration. And it was just kind of, again, catch as catch can. We had a lot of late night coding sessions around here, some last minute panic, as you might imagine. But we kind of pulled it together and we came up with a really cool project.
So you guys familiar, like hackathon, this concept is usually really common in like schools, right? So
right.
You see this a lot. Universities have these events. Exactly. So you're telling me it doesn't end.
Yeah, exactly. So exactly, and I think that's one of the appeals for us. We're like I said, we're a cutting edge company. There's pretty much anything you're doing when you're out on the, you know, in the edge with IoT and some of the latest and greatest with Azure. It kind of looks like a hack any way you get it. There's lots of new tools out there. There's not always a lot of enterprise solutions. So a lot of it is to just get in there and figure out what works best for us, and deliver those products and also get experience.
So Dirk, is this new? Like, is this something? I know you guys have mentioned that you've done this before. So how many years have you guys been holding these hackathons?
Since I've been here for like at least 5 years, but
as a company, we've been doing it, I think, for 7 years now. So I think that's what they said. And to my other point is like, you know, again, as a company, we're really big on, you know, Adam came right out of college for here, so we have lots of people. Like you said, you talk about the hackathon culture kind of coming on. That's a thing that we as Infusion like to, you know, use as a selling point to bring on employees and say like, hey, we're here to keep that culture alive and going.
That's cool. Yeah. So Adam, you came in from college. Were you surprised to kind of see that this was like the way they do things here?
I think like pleasantly surprised. Like I definitely heard about it kind of coming in, but it was super cool to like, you know, be participating in hackathons all throughout college and then arrive in the workplace and, you know, like you said, it doesn't end, right? Like, we just, the hackathons keep going, so.
Yeah. You had a little sneak preview. So Adam started with us even before he joined us.
Correct, yeah. So I did an internship here beforehand.
Excellent.
So I kind of got like a taste of the Infusion lifestyle. And then actually when I came on as a full-timer, I went through the Infusion boot camp, which is a whole new initiative that incorporates kind of like a month of hackathons almost of all different technologies. So yeah, and then out of that came here and, you know, more hackathons.
That's excellent. Yeah. What is the net effect of that, I guess? So you're telling me it's hackathons upon hackathons. You've been doing it for years. What has been the net effect of that on just the culture around here and, you know, the productivity? What sort of things do you see?
Well, it keeps us on our toes, I guess, because we are forced to expose ourselves to new technologies all the time. It's fun.
Yeah, so. Extremely fun. It makes us really prepared to face clients and their challenges. I think we get to see the other ideas. I mean, that's one of the biggest advantages. Mm-hmm. As much as development as we got to do, seeing what they did and developed gives us ideas, really kind of gives us a, like we said, IoT was the theme this year. We've had different themes. We've had wearables as kind of a theme in the past.
Cool.
And so there's been a lot of just different how to approach these so that when we go to clients, we have, you know, a range of solutions to offer them and that we have the know-how to back it up.
That's awesome. So you guys are the team behind the project from the Houston office.
Right, we're the primary development team.
Okay, so awesome. So can you give me a little background before, we're going to see this thing in action, but can you give us a little bit of an overview of what we're going to experience here?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we built a little barbecue smoker temperature measure that you put a probe into meat and inside the barbecue smoker, and we take the temperatures at regular intervals, submit it up to Azure, and we have an application that notifies the user of what's happening in the barbecue smoker without having to be present at the smoker. So you can sit on the couch and enjoy the experience. And then we've got, as part of the competition as well, some really nice BI information that we present as part of this, and the application will notify you of any changes while this is happening in the background. At the same time, we capture some recipes and some extra criteria that can help us define whether this was a successful.
Yeah, exactly. So the real context around the barbecue is, and it's not just to track the individual smoking, which is the IoT concept, but also kind of make it part of your overall Master Chef education. That's what it is. So what worked, what didn't, how this particular cook went, whether or not, maybe you might choose a different meat or a different recipe. And so there's a lot of angles that we attacked it at. And obviously from a hackathon perspective, we kind of went, no pun intended, whole hog. Around that kind of options there. So.
Well, it's just really relevant because we're going through we just had the rodeo cook-off, right?
Exactly.
A few weeks ago here in Houston. So, to have this sort of thing there, right?
So our joke was that when we finally, we didn't really kind of reveal what we were doing beforehand, but when we kind of had the company-wide reveal, as soon as we said, oh, we do barbecue, they were like, oh, Houston, of course. You know,
so that's cool. Well, awesome. So let's take a look at what you guys have built. I'd love to walk through and kind of get a little piece of the architecture and see this demonstration live.
Absolutely.
Sounds great. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Let's do it.
Cool. All right. So we're here in the lab where you guys are working on your IoT smoker device, right? Mm-hmm. So this is I guess you can do more than just smoking. You can cook anything with this, right?
Yeah,
this
you
is
can cook anything that requires a temperature that you want to measure.
So show me how this all works here. So I see we've got a Raspberry Pi 2 here. I see you got a few sensors connected up here. What exactly do you have running here?
Okay. So Pi, obviously, a little breakout board here for the Pi itself. Then we've got the chip for the K-type thermocouple, which is what we use for the meat temperature. We do have a version of the app where we do use the sense hat to record two other pressures, which is temperatures, which is the internal and room temperature. In this case, it's not wired up. So
this is an application running off of the device here that
on
we're looking
Pi.
At.
So what I am going to show is first what happens when I put the probe into hot water. So keep an eye on the probe temperature here. As soon as I put it into the hot water, you see a spike immediately of the temperature. And if I take it out, it should slowly come down, keeping in mind that the metal is quite hot, so it'll come down slower than it goes up.
Nice, that's excellent. Okay, so we've got some temperature readings coming off of the device, and we're seeing that visually. But there's more to this picture, right?
Sure. So to get all of this to work, the first thing that we need to do is we need to run some code on the Pi itself in the Windows 10 IoT OS. And so what we did is we wrote a little software package for the device, a very normal Windows Universal app with some additional libraries that we load. So the same thing if you go File, New, see that over here. Oh, it's a little difficult doing it from this angle. I'm running. It's very simply if you go File, New, Universal Project, the same type of project that you run on Windows 10, you can run on the IoT projects, the little slim down.
That's awesome. Yeah, so I'm very familiar with that. So UWP apps, right, that can target the mobile devices, desktop, Xbox can also run across your Raspberry Pi device right here.
Yes.
That's awesome. So you've got all these features of Visual Studio, etc. So you can do
the same thing as you used to if you've developed Visual Studio apps for other platforms. It's the same experience. There's almost no learning curve to get going with this. The one thing I would say is that you need to download the tools for the 110 IoT development and install the packages, And there is some setup on the device itself. So I had to, I don't know if you can see it here, it's a micro SD card that has the operating system running here.
You need to get all that at windowsondevices.com,
yes.
Right?
Cool. So there's a little bit of setup, pre-setup before you can start, but it's not a lot. Once you're up and running, everything can run from the Visual Studio side itself. Very little extra that you need to learn to get going. If you know C Sharp, you can code Windows and Win10 IoT stuff.
That's cool. Okay, so there's something else going on here,
yes.
Right? So you have a what looks like a mobile client, and this is an Android device. Am I right here? Is this
yes.
A Galaxy S6 is what that looks like.
Yes, so this app we have running on Android, Windows. Did we do iOS? Yeah. So all the popular OSs for the phones can run this specific application. What it's doing is it's getting the measurements from, we submit these up from the device to the IoT hub and into storage, as well as Kyle will tell you a little bit later about what we do on that side of it, but the app picks it up from that side and it's surfacing the exact same temperatures that you're seeing submitting here into the cloud and surfacing it on the mobile device. This app is intended for use while the smoker's carrying on. You can sit in the house and see what's happening on it. I'll let Adam take you through the basic steps.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome.
So this is essentially like your barbecue in your pocket, really.
Okay.
Yeah, so what we've got here is the basic screen, and this is just the readouts that you saw earlier from the actual meat probe device. And it's also got a timer telling you how much time is left from cooking. You'll receive notifications if the temperature ever rises too high or too low. So it's essentially keeping you up to date on what's going on in your grill.
The features look really cool. So I see you have an actual, you're telling me we're looking at simulating cooking baby back ribs here, right? So it knows how hot the meat should be, the grill, and the actual ambient room temperature.
Exactly.
Yes.
This is realistic. This is
what you would use.
Yeah.
Dirk, if you want to simulate the baby back ribs again, we can see the meat temperature spike as well.
Yeah, so you mean the putting it in? Sure.
So all of this is connected up.
So you see, I put the probe in, and the temperature leapt up there, and as it did in the device itself. So we've got a little bit more going on in that app than just the temperatures itself. So we've got some pre-set up information for recipes, and
that's cool.
We have a rating system at the end. That
is there any other cool stuff to walk through here? I see you've got your prep, your grill rate history.
For sure.
I'd like to see some of these features. This looks really neat.
Sure. So when you first get into the app, you can go to the prep screen, and this takes you to all your presets and recipes. So any recipes that you've already created under custom recipes, or we already pre-populated a couple different ones. You saw we went with the baby back ribs last time, so we'll just go with those again. And then here you have your cooking options. Essentially, these are all fields that will be tracked in the BI side of things, transferred from the device. Then what you saw earlier was the grill screen, and this is what's cooking. And then after that, after you're done grilling, you'll go to the rate screen. And this is essentially a chance for you to rate exactly how your meat was cooked. And you know, you can add some comments here, like, this was great, this wasn't great, et cetera.
So it seems like this has gone a step over hackathon typical quality. This is almost full production.
Yeah, so I think because the hackathon, it wasn't just like one night, we had like a little bit longer to work on that. Kind of all of our services and everything we're working on kind of just kept evolving as the project continued. So, I mean, there was talk about having this become like a crowd thing, so like everyone at your dinner could start like rating your food and stuff. but we didn't get that far, and we thought maybe that was a bad idea overall anyways. And then, of course, the final screen we have on there is your history screen.
So a couple more questions for you guys. You said that this targets all platforms, essentially, so your iOS, Android, Windows. How did you guys achieve that functionality? Did you write a client for each target operating system? How did you guys do that?
So we didn't write a client for each one. We were kind of operating under these hackathon time constraints. I'm also primarily a web developer, so what I did was create a web application, and then using PhoneGap or Cordova, we built out mobile applications for each different platform.
So this is a PhoneGap application that we're looking at here. That's amazing. And so for anyone that's out there watching, that can let you essentially use HTML5 JavaScript to write cross-platform applications. Exactly. Uses like some glue to kind of hitch into those operating system-specific functionalities, right? And that's cool. That's excellent. So, but that's not all, right? So we've looked at like what's going on here, but obviously there's something more happening. This data is going up somewhere, correct? So
the data is going into the cloud, and that's where Carl takes over.
Right. So the back end for the front end that we've seen there. So as I kind of mentioned before, like there's two kind of focal points for us from a back end side here. So one is to get the data off the device into the cloud, and then what we call the just-in-time, the barbecue in your pocket, you know, the maintenance and monitoring of that. So to support that, we kind of have two kind of major parts of the Azure infrastructure that I'm going to kind of like just show off a little bit. So as you see here, our entire resource group is constrained here. We have a lot of different features for it. For us, though, in particular, there's going to be two main kind of components of that. One is the event processor. The event processor is what's actually ingesting data into the IoT hub. So as that data comes in, it's actually looking at the session that it's tied to and taking that data off of the IoT hub and pushing it into the application's backend, into table storage, which is then, you know, the app's API is reading that. So we can see here that, you know, this job has been running. It's running continuously. It's always waiting for that next call from the thermocouple to take that number and push it into Azure storage.
There's a lot going on here. So this takes up that data, essentially moves it around, gets it into the right places,
exactly.
Operates on it.
Exactly.
Question. So you said a lot there.
Yeah.
This must have taken a lot of time to deploy and build.
Not as much time as you would think. I think I was very, very pleasantly surprised with the kind of like the way to go to enterprise kind of architecture, because the nice thing about this is it auto scales. So it's kind of one application, one fairly tiny library. In .NET, it took me about, you know, I'm not a .NET coder by nature, and I still kind of figured it out. I learned a lot about asynchronous programming, but give it a day or two, went to production, and it's enterprise scale, like we said, it's kind of right out of the bat. So you can do millions of devices. No change in my code.
So again, we could basically monitor all the meat that's getting cooked, just at the Houston rodeo, but
yes, exactly.
Around the world,
captured in here. The storage accounts to support it, everything like that is just kind of built into Azure. It's kind of like as far as scale, it's pretty much a dial. You just dial up what you need and dial down when you don't.
That's sweet. So I saw you have some other ways here of kind of visualizing this data. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So then the second piece that we talked about, like, so that's for the app itself. But obviously the other component for us is some analytics around it. So what we have is we have a streaming analytics job. What it's doing is it's taking data both from the app's backend, so the recipe and some other metadata around that, as well as that streaming input. So you can kind of see there's what we call the reference data and then the IoT hub stream. It's running those through two types of queries. One is cold storage, so we're just storing that data off. So we have, you know, any sort of deep analytics we really want to do. But then we also have Hot Path Analytics, which is going to Power BI. And that Power BI kind of manifests itself here. So we have a data set to support it. And this is kind of like, this was the hackathon analytics that we did here. You can see things like, for example, the average meat temperature by session, the number of active sessions. That's not the right number of sessions. That's actually how many measurements we've had against sessions. So we have a scatter cart, but right now we only have one session, as you can see. But when we have two or three sessions, it's actually a play chart, and you can actually watch the bubbles move around, which is pretty cool. We also kind of have average meat type, for example, like we said, the metadata. So by recipe name, fuel type, any of the other kind of metadata we bring there. And one of the last things I'm going to show you here, I'm going to kind of click around and make sure I don't get this too messed up, is this thing also has the ability, which is nice because, again, it's streaming analytics. So in addition to that, you can see this is the data that we've been capturing this whole time while you've been filming, starting with the initial spike when we stuck it in the water. To now we're having it's a 5-minute rolling window of the temperature, so as we're headed back down to kind of room temperature. So if you sit here and if you waited a minute, or hopefully you catch it at the right time, you'll just kind of see it like make one little extra bump, and it'll just kind of run forever.
So quick little background, what you've kind of shown me with Power BI, mm-hmm. Kind of my understanding of it is like really excellent way to build user interfaces for aggregating and visualizing, analyzing large amounts of data.
That's exactly right. So it's not just a visualization tool, although that's an important component, but like in terms of modeling and taking all of your data and really kind of building a strong, consistent model there, that is what Power BI's backend is 100% built for.
So I noticed you had some pretty sweet widgets in here, some that I wasn't aware of. I knew you could do charts and graphs.
Sure, sure.
You've got things those look at, there's a play button.
Yeah, there's
there.
A play chart here, so you can actually kind of watch your sessions. Like as we've like started and stopped this job, you can kind of watch it, you know, manifest itself all the way through time. And then like, and as you kind of alluded to earlier, like you're not just limited to charts and graphs. You can do things like again, here's our hackathon logo. The other widgets you have available is you can do a text box. You can actually do rich media content. So like your tweet deck sort of embeds, as well as video.
This is excellent. This is really, really excellent. So the real question here is, you guys have essentially, you know, it sounds like you did this for a hackathon, but the reality is, I feel like you guys have built a product here.
Yeah, if I'm going to be like a little like less than humble, like as a client services consulting company, you know, we're not just trying to engineer hackathon. We're trying to learn these tools to apply to our clients. So we want to do it the best. We want to make it production ready. We want to test out those things at the edge cases and not just a hackathon that we throw away. So we actually took this to demo to some of our clients, and we continue to do that. And so we're actually using it as collateral for the client. So that's really important to us.
That's really cool. And like alluding to what we were talking about earlier, this hackathon, I guess, gave you guys the ability to go out there and try this technology before, I guess, signing on with a client and figuring it out then, right?
Exactly, right. We don't like to play with fire too much around here. We definitely want to know what we're getting into. And that's just, the hackathons give us an excellent way to kind of, you know, get into a new technology.
That's absolutely amazing. So, you know, for everybody out there, like just seeing this stuff today, I'm just really enamored by the culture you have here and clearly the talent. So you guys seem to be building things around a variety of different technologies. Cloud, you guys seem to know what you're doing with the data. You guys seem to know what you're doing with the client side in terms of phone gap development, targeting all platforms. Is there anything that you guys don't do? I mean, because you're in the hardware space now too. So
I think for this, I mean, we're hoping to provide end-to-end architecture for this sort of solution. I mean, there's some deep layers in all these technical facets of this where I bring in particular .NET experts, web app experts. We can't do it alone. I mean, it takes a whole team. It definitely takes a culture that pushes us to embrace new technologies and get client ready for them.
That's excellent. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing, guys. It's been a real pleasure seeing this live in action and all the work that you guys went through. It's really fascinating. And I hope that our listeners out there and people viewing this video are going to get inspired maybe to perhaps look at the way Infusion's taking this technology to the next level in your business, and maybe they can apply it to get success in theirs.
We hope so.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, guys.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.